Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Many of you have asked me, what does Barclay do during the service? You've met Barclay, maybe when we've been out there greeting, right? He's a Newfoundland. Well, he does what many of you do during the sermon. He takes a nap. Barclay is not our first Newfoundland. That's the type of dog he is. Our first Newfoundland, there he is, look at those Newfies right there, was a dog named Fred that we got back in 1996. Now, the Newfoundland breed is very slobbery, as you can see, a little goober hanging. And you notice that I always out there greeting out there with a rag to wipe up Barclay's goobers. They were bred for power, strength, and size to help fishermen pull boats and nets and things in Newfoundland, Canada. But they were also bred to be gentle and to be good with people. In fact, the Newfie is known as the gentle giant. And I know some of you have appreciated that about Barclay when you get to see him. Fred, our first Newfoundland, when he was about 6 years old, so right around 2002, he came down with this nasty kidney infection that we could not get rid of. We gave him all the prescribed drugs, and the kidney infection still was there. And it was a very painful thing for Fred. And so what happened for Fred, this gentle, lovable Newfoundland, this unhealed pain on the inside, dragon, led him to act out of character. So there was this thing on the inside of him that just couldn't get healed, and therefore he acted in a way that wasn't his natural tendency. So Fred, with this kidney infection, very tender, very sore, Jake, who is now 18, at the time was about 4 years old, came by and just did what he normally did, you know, said hi to the dog and touched that painful spot, and Fred actually turned and nipped at Jake, bit at him. This is something So here's the deal. That inner painful thing turned this dog into this dog. Now, let me just say, if you're at home listening online, I'm showing an angry chihuahua picture right now. And I'm sorry for those of you who have a chihuahua, but you know what I mean, right? Probably better than the rest of us. So here's the deal, that inner unhealed thing can take the gentle one and make him or her like that. Turn to your neighbor and go. It's week 4 in our series, Where the Rubber Hits the Road. And what we've been attempting to do is apply things of faith, which we learn, you know, cerebrally, and apply them to day-to-day activity. And so to get at the topic for the day, where the rubber hits the road, I'm just going to jump into the scripture and follow along if you'd like on the screens. Jesus was asked by his disciples, they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. So he says, okay, when you pray, pray this way. And he teaches them some things, and he gets to this place, and he goes, when you pray, pray, forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who have sinned against us, Matthew 6:12. A couple of things on that verse. Those who have sinned against us. It doesn't take long for us to come up with a list of those who have sinned against us, does it? In fact, if I were to call on you, if I were to say, you, stand up, tell me the names of the people who've hurt you, you wouldn't have to think long to come up with the names of those knuckleheaded people who have hurt you, because we can remember those who have hurt us. And so, you gotta forgive them. But you need to know that those people who've sinned against us is not the first part of that text, is it? Whose sins are the first part of that text? Ours. Sorry, it'd be nicer if I just talked about those people who sinned against us, but quite frankly, the text, when it talks about forgiving those, often talks about our sins first. So here's the deal, people. Yes, we've got to forgive others, but before we forgive others, there needs to be a strong realization that we too have sins that need forgiveness. Now let's just do a little racing here, shall we? How many of you have been stupid and sinful this week? I've been first. You're a little slow. How many of you have done something this weekend that you wish you wouldn't have done? See, I'm quicker than all of you. Maybe I'm just more honest, or maybe I know where I'm going. See, the reality is that we need forgiveness. And we've got to forgive. Let me jump down to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. There it is again. Forgive them so that your Father in heaven can forgive you your sins. Ooh. Forgive them. If you're an English person, you would know that the words forgive them is not given in a suggestive form. It's called actually an imperative sentence. That is to say, it's a command. When the Bible says to forgive them, it's not giving you an idea to consider. It's giving you a command to forgive them. Forgive them. So that your sins may be forgiven. So here's the deal. Unforgiveness is like an umbrella that keeps the blessings and the grace of the Lord off of you. You don't want that umbrella. Because the Lord has forgiveness that he wants to shower down upon you, blessings that he wants to give to you. But when we walk in unforgiveness, we got our umbrellas that keep us from the grace of the Lord. You don't want that umbrella. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want that umbrella. No, you don't. Your sins. Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times? Now, you might not know, but you could discover this if you Googled this. The Hebrew rabbis back in Peter's day taught regularly and loudly that you should forgive somebody three times. There's an Old Testament passage that they had referenced where God forgave the enemies of the Israelites three times, and then after the third time, you know, he brought some pretty severe punishment. And so the rabbi teachers in Peter's day said, hey, forgive them three times. And so Peter, knowing Jesus was a little, you know, bigger in compassion and grace than them, I'm thinking he must have felt pretty proud. I'm wondering how he approached you. Hey, Jesus, they say three, but I'm going to guess seven. And I wonder if Peter, in suggesting seven, if he was anticipating this type of response. Wow, Peter, good job. You're unbelievable. They say three, you say seven. Everybody, hey, Peter said seven times. Let's hear it for Peter, everybody. Yeah, way to go, Peter. Woo, somebody give him a fist bump. Boom, way to go, Peter. He thought he was being really gracious. But what did Jesus say? Check out the rest of the verse. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but seven times seven. Seven times 70, actually, is what it says. Seven times 70, right? Is that what it says? Yeah, seven times 70. 490. So Jesus was really saying, Peter, not seven, you knucklehead, 490 times. And if they need forgiveness 491 times, then you call down curses upon their heads. And so this is good for us because we have iPads and smartphones and things. So you, starting today, need to start keeping a record of all the times that they've sinned against you. And, you know, be gracious up to 490 times. That ought to take them a year or two or maybe a week, depending how stupid they are, right? But once they hit 491, can we go back to that chihuahua real quick? That's it. Because that's what Jesus was saying in that text, right? No, of course not. Of course not. See, Jesus was using a rhetorical device known as hyperbole, where you just speak large, big numbers, not thinking and meaning literal numbers. He wasn't thinking 491 times, then you don't have to forgive. He was thinking just forgive forever until you don't need to forgive ever again. See, Jesus was saying, if that person sins against you, just keep forgiving them. Now, here's where I need to interrupt my teaching on this week's Rubber Hit the Road forgiveness and say, that's impossible. You are wholly incapable of forgiving somebody that many times on your own. You can't just try harder and forgive them. And so let me go back to the beginning of this series, the first Sunday in May, when I bugged some of you. I made you all lean that way. Do you remember? I said, everybody lean. I'm not moving until y'all lean. Everybody lean that way. Everybody. You're not leaning, row two. Come on and lean. You're not leaning. I said, lean. I said, everything in this series where we take faith and put it into action has to be built upon a foundation of leaning into Jesus. If we just go through the motions of doing the actions apart from a relationship with Jesus, you're going to fail, and then your religion's just going to be religion. And church becomes a thing of boxes that you just check off. Did it, did it, did it. And that's not the point of the faith that we follow. Because all of these things, where the rubber hits the road, this forgiveness concept for today, comes out of our intimacy with Jesus. So let's do that thing again that we've done a million times. If you're new here, this is something that I love and everybody else gets annoyed with, but that's okay. Everybody hold your right hand up in there and say, hey, hi, me. So this right here represents you. Hold your other hand up and say, hello, God. This represents God. And it's all about, boom, where you and God come together and walk daily. Because the Lord didn't create the earth, right? Back in Genesis, when he spoke the world into existence, he didn't speak it so that he could step back and say, wow, look what I made. Hey, angels, look what I done did make over there. Wow, let's just watch it. That's not what he did. You didn't know God was from the south, did you? That's not what God did. He created it all so that he could interact and walk with and love and be in relationship with people like you. It's all about us walking in close proximity to Jesus. And so when Jesus says, forgive 7 times 70, he's saying, you just keep forgiving, but you'll never be able to forgive without me. Forgive. So then he tells this story, Jesus does, in Matthew 18. It's a story right after he talks to Peter. It's the same chapter, Matthew 18. There's this servant who owes the master a boatload of money. And the master says, yo, man, you owe me money. Give it to me. And the servant says, I don't have it. And so the master says, well, go to jail until you can pay it off. But the servant begs, please forgive me. I can't. And so the master says, you know what? I'm going to forgive it all. You owe me nothing. And I'm just sure the servant was like, so the servant, let's call him Bob, okay? So Bob was forgiven this much money, and then when Bob leaves, he runs into his friend who we're going to call Bill, and Bill owes him just a little bit of money, just a small little bit. He goes, Bill, give me my money. Bill's like, I don't have it, man. I'll get you later. He goes, I want it now. And Bill's like, I don't have it. So Bob says, get him in jail. Put him in jail. Take him to jail until he can pay me back. And so he sends him to jail. But the master hears what Bob did. And this is what the text says in Matthew 18. The master called the servant that we called Bob in. And he goes, you wicked servant. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, Bill, just as I had on you? And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owned. See, there's that reality again, that we have our own sins that need forgiveness. And it's that realization that enables us to forgive. But here's the deal. The story, it's telling a story where the guy had to go to jail and he was tortured because of his unforgiveness. There's a reality. That's just the story. But there's a reality for us that when we walk out in unforgiveness, we choose to live in bondage and captivity. So the topic of the day is forgiveness. So forgiveness, I'm thinking there's really two things here, and you've already hopefully got both of them. The first is that we've sinned. Turn to your neighbor, get your friendly finger. Although yesterday I was driving with the boys in the car. I got the driving finger. Somebody gave me the driving finger yesterday. You know, she was texting at the stoplight, and so I just beep, beep, gave her the little friendly mind, and boom, she gave it to me, and Zeke and I started laughing. I'm like, oh, we got the driving finger, Zeke. Leave your driving finger in your pocket. Two things I want us to get out of this lesson. The first one, I want you to tell your neighbor, say, you have sinned. And I want actually get your friendly finger, point at yourself and say, I have sinned. I have sinned. The second thing that we're getting from these texts is that we need to forgive others, but we can't get to the second thing, to forgive others, until we realize in full that we too have needed forgiveness. Jesus tells a story of there was a time, actually, it wasn't a story, it was something Jesus lived. There's this woman who was caught in this act that, you know, deserved punishment because she was sinful. And so all the dudes gathered around, they're going to throw rocks at her and say, man, she needs to be punished. And Jesus stood up, this is John chapter 8, and he said to them, hey, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. So before we can move into the forgiving others, you have to realize that you have needed forgiveness yourself. This old dead guy who wrote a devotional called My Utmost for His Highest, his name's Oswald Chambers. I read this thing almost every day. He says this, he says, don't get impatient with others. Remember how God dealt with you, with patience and gentleness. See, we have needed his forgiveness. And thank God, God gave it. That's the first thing we're getting about this concept of forgiveness, that we have needed it, and we won't be able to give it fully until we grasp the reality that we need forgiveness. So that's the first thing, you need forgiveness. Second thing is going to be, you got to forgive others. Before we go to that other thing, let me just parenthetically give you a mini sermon, right? This is kind of a whole sermon topic on its own that we could do weeks on. I'm just going to give you a mini teaching in the midst of it right here, because I think some of you really can ignore everything I say before and after this mini sermon. You might just need the mini sermon that I'm giving you free of charge today for nothing, right? It's just extra. You're welcome. It's extra. It's in the concept of forgiveness, but it's not about your sins that God has forgiven, and it's not about you forgiving them. It's about you forgiving you. And so some of you know that you've been sinful and stupid. Some of you have that thing that haunts you. And that thing that haunts you, right? You've turned from it. You've walked away from it. But it's just like a heavy weight. That shame and that guilt. And some of you in your own mind say, I can't believe I did that thing. And that thing that you did, it might have been yesterday. It might have been yesteryear. But either way, it's behind you, but it still weighs you down. And so maybe the mini sermon is the one for you, that the grace of Jesus covers your sin and you can forgive you because he forgave you. The Apostle Paul would say it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He would say, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, they're a new creation. The old is gone. Everything is new. So maybe the only thing you need to hear today is that God has forgiven you, and he's saying, forgive yourself. The blood of Jesus has covered that dumb thing you did. So if you're stuck in your sin and you're still walking it out, you know, just turn from it, repent from it, say no. But if you have turned from it and you've left it behind you, you can stand tall with forgiveness in your own heart towards yourself, because the cross of Jesus covers that dumb thing that you've done. Forgive yourselves. Thus concludes our mini sermon. Back to the big one. So the first point really is that you have sins that you need to forgive, and as you embrace the fact that you've been sinful, that will enable you to move to the second thing, which is you have been commanded. Somebody say commanded. You've been commanded to forgive others. Jesus himself modeled this while he's on the cross, having taken the nails for others. It wasn't his sin that took him to the cross. It was other people. He was innocent. He was wrongly accused. He couldn't have been more pure. He was spotless, and yet he's up there dying a very painful death. And in the midst of that wrong done unto him, Jesus looked around, and he said, Father, forgive him. Luke 23. For they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so Jesus models forgiveness, and he teaches something to us in that forgiveness. He realizes that sometimes they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes people are like Newfoundlands with pain on the inside that leads them to do stupid things that's not really their character. They don't know what they're doing. And if we can just see people the way Jesus sees them, that they're like a Newfie with a kidney infection who's acting like a mean little chihuahua, we forgive them. They don't know. They don't know what they're doing. So the command, where the rubber hits the road in your life, is to forgive those who have done you wrong. So the Bible commands it, Jesus modeled it, and Oprah Winfrey agrees. So on Oprah.com, don't know what I was doing there. Forgive me, I knew not what I was doing. She has a section on forgiveness on Oprah.com, not making it up. And she quotes Dr. Gary Zukav, who says, when you don't forgive, he tells this kind of analogy. When you don't forgive, according to Dr. Zukav, it's like wearing dark sunglasses that distort everything you see, and you demand others to wear the same lens as you do. And he says, but when you forgive, it's like taking those lenses off and the world becomes clear. He goes on in his illustration of what unforgiveness is. He says, not forgiving is like carrying heavy suitcases full of books. If I was making this analogy, I would say, you know, Christy, Elise, and Reese, those are the three females in our house, and then there's Jake, Max, Zeke, and me. So there's four guys, three ladies, right? instead of suitcases filled with books, I would say any one of their luggages. It doesn't matter. Because one of those ladies, whether it's Christy or either of the two girls, pack way more than the four of us guys put together. I don't know what that is. Do you? Back to the story. He says, unforgiveness is like carrying suitcases loaded with books. But forgiveness is like setting them down and walking. Forgiveness. It's a command in the Bible to forgive. Here's what I know. It's easy to talk about it. It's harder to do it. And I only wish I had some personal examples from my life where I could be vulnerable and share where I've failed here, but I've not ever failed in this. Sorry. I'll try less hard next time. Well, see, the reality is this is one of the big lessons that the Lord's been teaching me the past couple months. Couple months! I'm not talking in years gone by where I've mastered these things. I'm talking very recently. The Lord has been revealing to me that there's been unforgiveness in my heart, and it's been impacting the way I have lived. And I know some of you have felt it before. You know, I know some of you have wondered, but Rob always seems a little distant and a little aloof. There's a hardness at times about me that I'm sure some of you have impacted. And it's because the Lord is revealing to me that people who've hurt me in the past have led me in an unforgiving way to protect myself, to keep people at arm's length. And I'm sorry that some of you have felt that. And the Lord said, the way to get rid of the walls isn't to try to work on the walls, it's to forgive those who've wronged you in the past. So this is even true in my marriage. I've been married for 22 years. And there are times in my life when I, thank you, who's happy for that? Yeah, who's clapping? Yeah. Yeah, this has been awesome, 22 years. But in that time, there's been times when I've done that with Christy and I've kept my wife, who's just phenomenal. If you know her, you know I'm a lucky man. But I've kept her at arm's length out of a protection, out of some unforgiveness, because I dated a girl in high school. High school's a long time ago. On Friday, I'll be 45. I know you look 90 with the white beard, but that's okay. Trust me, 45. High school in the 80s. The 80s. There was this girl I dated for about 3 years, and she wasn't always nice to me, true to me, and she hurt me. And so when we ended that thing, I decided, no, I'm going to just protect myself. I'm not going to forgive her, that girl. And what's happened over the years is sometimes that hardness, that shell has kept the one that I love, who isn't like that, away in a distant way. The Lord said, that is a result of unforgiveness in your heart. And you need to forgive that young girl. She was just a high school student. You need to forgive her 20-some years later. Eef. The senior pastor of the River, have you ever met him or seen him? That'd be me. My name's Rob. Good to meet you. Your senior pastor has a reputation around town. I'm not joking. I'm embarrassed by this. Please don't laugh. As being kind of a jerk when I'm with other pastor groups. You see, the River is a part of a denomination called the Reformed Church in America. That doesn't matter to us. What matters is we get to work with other churches to do good things, right? And there's like 24 different Reformed churches. I moved here in 1996, and for the first several years in my involvement with the other churches around here, every time I would go to a larger pastor gathering, I would hear things like, man, you can't look like that and be a pastor. You look like a drug dealer. Did you forget to shave? What kind of shoes are those? None of these fellas were meaning to be mean, right? But after hearing that for years and years, it began to wear on me and it began to hurt on the inside. And so instead of doing the godly thing and saying, hey guys, that kind of hurts. I'm assuming you don't mean it, but I don't like when you do that. You know what I did instead? I got mad. I began to clench my fists. And I began to harden my heart towards those other pastors. And so after the few vulnerable years, I quit being like a friendly old Newfoundland. And I began to act like an angry Chihuahua. And so for years in these meetings, I would go, not literally with my fist clenched, but my fists were clenched in a, you know, symbolic kind of way. And I was just mad and angry. And the Lord saying, you've got a reputation around other pastors of kind of being a jerk. Not because because you're a jerk, but because you're unforgiving. Goodness. That's why I know this topic today, forgiveness. It's not an easy one. I should have talked to you about, you know, how to dress more holy or something. That would have been easier. This one. Whew, this one. It's a command. The Lord says to forgive, but man, that's not something I'm speaking on lightly, because I know that when the rubber hits the road in this topic, it's going to bring some correction, conviction, and change. So, but you need to know when the Lord brings correction, he's been bringing some good discipline my way the past couple months. He doesn't do it angrily. He does it with love because he wants what's best for us. God doesn't command us to forgive so that we can simply be a blessing to others. He commands to forgive so that we ourselves can walk into freedom. So I'm glad I'm an idiot so that I have stories to share with you. I've needed these lessons, but I'm going to bet $3 I ain't the only person in the room who's needed the lessons today. There are people in here I know, and I'm wondering if you know who you are. You too have been holding on to the unforgiveness, and like me, you've got your thing, and you're meant to be in Newfoundland, but you're like an angry chihuahua, and you just, and I think the Lord is saying to you, you've got to lay it down. And here's how you can tell if the Lord's really speaking to you. This that squirmy feel. You're uncomfortable with what's being said, and whether maybe not physically squirmy, but on the inside you're kind of squirming and hoping he hurries up and shuts up so we can get out. If you're feeling squirmy, one of two things. Either that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, or you got to go pee. I don't think I'm the only one who needs this lesson to forgive. But I tell you, it's not easy. It's difficult. It's easier to see their sins and leave it over there. It's tougher to realize that, you know what, I've needed forgiveness too, and I need to extend it. So let me give you some how-tos. There's a guy named Dr. Ned Hollowell who wrote a book called Dare to Forgive. Man, that's a title. Dare to Forgive, it's a risky thing to dare to forgive. He gives four steps on how we can move into forgiving others. Number one is to acknowledge the pain and the hurt. All right, see, forgiveness isn't simply saying, hey, I didn't, man, no big deal. I know every single time for the first 8 years I knew you, you ripped on me because of my parents. That didn't bug me. It's all good. That's not forgiveness. That's just denial. And so the first step to forgiveness is actually to acknowledge, you know, this did hurt. To be honest with it and not to pretend like it didn't hurt, just to, it didn't, I don't like it. It hurt. And then secondly, to relive and to reflect upon it, not in the to make you more bitter and angry type of way, but to actually, you know, okay, they did this thing that hurt to me, that hurt me, and it made me feel this way. I felt like I never belonged. I felt like none of them liked me. I felt like I was an outsider, and I felt like I wasted my life going to seminary. I felt, I didn't like, you got to relive and reflect, right? Or, you know, if you got a pulse, you got. And then I've also said you can't heal it until you can't heal it till you feel it. So this is feeling the ick. And then the third thing this Dr. Hollowell says is to work it out. You got to work it out. That might look many different ways. For me, it involves several things. I've been to many different therapists over the years for different lengths of time. You might need some therapy. So we got, you know, some cards back there to Desert Streams Christian Counseling. You might need to just go, boom, you might need to make a beeline and get there. I got to call Desert Streams right now. Or you might need to gather your small group of friends. This is also something that's been just unbelievably helpful. You just get your junk on the table and say, can you help me with this? Maybe it means you talk one-on-one with them. You got to work it out. You got to work it out. You got to work. You know, and then the fourth thing he says to do is just help. You got to renounce the anger and the resentment. You got to say to yourself, I'm done with it. I'm setting it aside. I give it away. You got to renounce it. That's from the book Dare to Forgive. I got four things I'm going to add. And because eight's a big number, I'm going to start over at number one. It's not your activity that produces such fruit, but it's your relationship to Jesus. Right, so the thing I'm going to say is don't try harder to forgive people. Don't just muster up the courage, I'm going to forgive today. Remember that, lean into Jesus. Boom. Walk with him. Get with the Lord daily. Read his word. Listen to teachings. Worship regularly. Listen to see if he wants to talk to you. Pray and cast your cares. Grow in relationship with Jesus, because none of this is possible if you're just trying harder to forgive. So I'm saying it's about your relationship with him, not your own effort. Second thing I'll add here is remember what the Bible says in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I really can. The notion of forgiveness, it's not impossible. It might seem that way, but you know, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. He's there to help you. And then thirdly, there's this that's going to help you. Boom, check that out. Yep. Get it, don't you? Powerful. Point number three. How about I explain what I'm talking about in this third point? So, I'm a really good driver. Tickets, never happen. Drive the speed limit all the time. I'm very cautious. I'm very safe. I get teased by my children and my friends. Dude, you're going 70 miles an hour. I know, speed limit 70. You could go 75, speed limit 70. I'm always a safe driver. You know, when many of you drive by on the highway and you see the cops in the corner, what do? The first thing, you swear in your head, oh crap, and then you hit the brake, right? You know what I do? I wave because I know I ain't going to get pulled over. I'm going the speed limit. However, I do have one major area of shortcoming when it comes to my driving. And it's that right there. So if you're home listening, this is a street light with the yellow light lit up. The yellow lights get me. And I'm not talking the yellow lights that turn yellow when you're like driving through. I'm talking about the yellow lights that are way down there. You know what I'm talking about? Because when I see the yellow light way down there, that's like encouragement to go fast, right? You got to get there. And so I was with Max and Zeke. They're our 16 and 14-year-old boys. And I was driving, and man, I plowed through this. It wasn't even yellow. It was very red. And it was like the probably thousandth time they'd seen me do that. And I said, you know what, guys? I need to shore up this part of my driving. And so I said to Max and Zeke, I said, guys, as of now, I'm never running a yellow light again unless it turns when I'm driving through. And Zeke in the backseat, Dad, there's no way you can do that. I said, thanks for the encouragement, buddy. I said, what are you talking about? I'm deciding now I'm never doing it. Because, Dad, you can't, because you've been doing that as long as I can remember. You can't just change, he said. I said, Zeke, you watch. I said, Zeke, here's the deal. I ain't like Barkley. He was in the far back. He doesn't care if I drive through red lights. I said, I'm not a dog. I'm a man. Dogs have to do what their instincts tell them. Men and women can make choices to change their behavior. And as of today, boys, I'm changing my behavior. I ain't running any more red or yellow lights. I'm through. Done. So 3 weeks now, I haven't driven through a yellow light. This is awesome. But many of those, you know, as drivers, it turns yellow like when you're driving through. Every time that happens, Zeke's like, Dad, you're a liar. I'm like, it just turns. But anyway, we'll work that out. The point is we aren't animals that have to just act on instinct. We can make cognitive choices. And so when I've been thinking of somebody who I've been angry with, you know, and I get, whoa, Lord, I forgive that person. Or when I see that person in mire that I hope they don't see that I see them, so I can pretend that I don't see them. You know what I'm talking about? Of course, you've never done that. I can say to them, Lord, I forgive that person. I'm not a dog that has to just, I can make a choice now to forgive, boom, whenever that person, that thing comes to mind. And guess what? You aren't dogs either. You are people made in the image of God. You have the power to change your behavior simply by choosing to change your behavior. That's point number three. So when you see the yellow light, you can say, I can change. Then the fourth thing I will add is I want you to bring to the cross the name or the initials of the person. So we got paper over here and some pencils. And we're not going to do any fingerprinting or DNA testing. We're not going to try to link that name with, hey, my name's on here 30 times. Who's that? Not going to do any of that. But in a real way, I want you to do the symbolic thing of bring that person who's hurt you and throw it. Bonnie, you're not going to look at that, are you? No, okay. And so I want you to come to the cross. I'm going to invite the worship folks back up here. They're going to lead us in one more song, just one song. Y'all can handle one more song while this last worship bit's going on. I'm going to invite you to come on forward, write the initials or the name of the person, crinkle up, just throw it to the cross, give them the cross, and make that a symbolic action of saying, I forgive them. Because unforgiveness will mess you up and put you in bondage. And forgiveness will set you free.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.